Mike, known as Vito, sometimes known as Guido.
Thanks very much, Forrest. I love all of you, and I feel so much better than when I was on the plane coming out here that you wouldn't believe it. I pray to the Lord coming out here that this would be a spiritual, mental rest for me. And I know that might be selfish, but that's what he gave me through you. So I'm thoroughly overwhelmed and blessed with that fact. How you've treated my wife and I is just phenomenal. I want you to know that. I'm going to try not to break down in saying that. Okay, but how you've treated us, you'll never know how great it's been to be here. This has got to be one of the best trips we ever took, no doubt about it. So I'd like to give you all a hand. You can clap for yourself. And the way you guys have taken care of us, and it's like Forrest was saying, like, when do we eat? It's like that's like in the middle of each sentence, you know. And believe it or not, the food that was been fed to us has been some of my favorite food. It's like amazing. But what's that? No, actually, no. And we love it out here. I mean, I could live out here in this desert climate. We came down here from over 100 inches of snow. Record snow is where we were at. And it got to the point where we just left it anymore. We were so sick of moving it that we just said, forget it anymore, and we drove over it. And people up there were getting ornery, you know. So coming down here, and everybody's kind of happy and bright, wearing, you know, these light clothes and stuff. It was really great. But to tell you the truth, some of the greatest times down here were sitting around with the folks and discussing the scriptures. And like last night was a gas. After listening to Ron, Ronnie's my hero now, as far as like stories of the past, and I'm sure that I don't know how to say this. I like to laugh, and I think it's good to laugh. I think it's good to have pleasure in the Lord. I think He wants us to have pleasure in Him. I think He wants us to know His love. I do. I think there's so little of true love of God and experiencing that in this world. I believe that the evil one has done a great work that way. But I think that laughing and having fellowship with each other, knowing what we do, is just a great, great thing. And we had that last night. I mean, I was laughing so hard my stomach hurt. And I haven't done that for a while, and that I love it. I mean, I know all of you know what I'm talking about. And we were sitting around, and I think that's just a great thing, talking about the scriptures. And you know, I want to take a couple of magpies home. Did you ever see those? A magpie, a bird. You got a bird here that's what I call the Rich Little of the bird world, because this thing does like 12, 14 different songs, and then it pops up and down. It's like awesome, and I can't help but thinking about the Lord when I'm listening to this bird. And if you ever go outside, I don't think we stop and really, even though it's in a fallen state, I don't think we enjoy, or I don't enjoy the Lord's creation. It's awesome. I mean, it just is. Even the crickets sing praise to Him, I think. When you go outside, you hear this really loud like that. And one time I went out, and even these crickets are praising the Lord. That's what I felt like. All these creatures that have all these songs and everything. And I think originally they were just praising the Lord. That's what I really believe. And now we have remnants of that to enjoy, even though it's fallen. So We got, my wife and I got to go out in the backyard of Barney's. I'll try to keep this short. And we probably enjoyed it more than him and his wife do. You know, like they make this fountain and we go back there and we're enjoying it. And, you know, we're listening to them about all their labors and stuff like that. And we're just, I felt guilty. Because I'm enjoying their labors, you know, maybe more than they do. But, you know, all I'm saying to you is that you can take it within your hearts and minds that you have really, you've given my wife and I a real needed rest in the spirit. And I'm a different guy than when I came here. And, you know, I just am. And that is... I know the Lord knows what I'm talking about, and it's good enough, I think, just for me to voice it, and I really praise you and thank you for what you guys have done. And it's an honor to be here. All we are, any of us that get up here, we're just voice boxes. We're just guys that had the privilege of knowing the things about the Lord, and we get up here, and if our hearts are right, we just say out what the Lord has taught us, and we're nothing special ever. Every one of us is a student from a Welch to a Bullinger. None of us is greater than any other. Maybe some guys get the, talent. Maybe I have one talent, Bob has 10, and Ronnie has 15. Well, if I fulfill my one talent, I'm doing as good as Welch or that has 50. You know, and that's all we are. And we're all learners and continuously doing so. So I don't think that any one of you should ever feel at a loss for anything in the Lord. He can teach any of us anything if we just put ourselves in that position, really. I mean, seriously. And I was a nothing years ago, and I'm still a nothing in the flesh, but in him I'm awesome through his son, you know. So, all right, well, we're going to look at... a couple of Greek things this morning. We're going to look at the inheritance in the light that I spoke about yesterday. I hope that Heidi here agrees that I spelled these Greek words right. What do you think, Heidi?
Yeah, doxa spell right.
Oh, hey, listen to this. Doxa spell right. Yeah, this means glory. Doxa, it's actually doxa. I'm sorry, it's not doxa.
Yeah, you still
have. Oh, she's still having problems with that. But, you know, we're going it's a debate, but I told she has this one book, and I told her to write the author that she's wrong. This lady that wrote this Greek book, and
I
so
think the author's right.
You think the author's right? Well, okay, Heidi. Well, I have to carry this on again. Ton Hagion is the holies, and this is what you'll find in Colossians and Ephesians 1. That we have an inheritance, which is called a kleru, in the ton hagion, en tu photi. And yesterday we were looking at the word phos, which in the New Testament is the most dominant word used for the word light. And photi is a form of that word, and we notice that we have an inheritance, which I didn't write that word, in the holies, and this word hagion is used for many things in the scriptures, but like the, we might not get to it, but if you look at Hebrews 9, 1 through 8, you'll find that the Holy of Holies was the hagion, okay? And sometimes this word hagion is used for the word saints. You know, because saints are holy. But I think that when it's used in Ephesians 1, I think it's a misrepresentation of what truly the Holy Spirit was trying to teach. That we have an inheritance not in the saints, because we are the saints. But we have an inheritance in the holies, in that light, in the light. And what I'm saying is, like, if we turn to Colossians 1, which we will, let's do now. What I'm saying to you is this. Let's turn there. And this all has to do with this light, this unapproachable light, which we'll read some scriptures. And, you know, I got about a half an hour, so we're going to move. We're going to be moving. Okay, Heidi? We're going to be moving and reading a lot of scriptures. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All righty then. I like kids, Ben. She's scary. So, she's scary. I like that. But if we read Colossians 1 and look at verses 9, 10, and 11, and 12, this is discussing our awesome inheritance. And it's discussing our awesome inheritance. And before, yesterday we read in Ephesians 1:11 that we were made an inheritance. And we are. And today we're reading about what that inheritance is or where. So not only are we made an inheritance of the Father, but we are placed in a position in something we are going to inherit, in a place. One question has always been, is glory a place or is glory a reality of power? What is it? The Greek word for Shekinah, which is a Hebrew word, that means light and glory, is the Greek word doxa, which is this word. And I believe that glory is both, or it can be both. Glory can be a place in glory, and glory can be a experience of radiant light, glorious light, which we'll, you know, I could make these people mad here today that own this place. That is to say, we could be here for a while. But we can't. Because I could start moving on into these various subjects that I've just mentioned. And see, all these things were going to come in the middle of my talk. And the way the Lord works is just, I think as Barney said, you're just up here and you've studied. All of us speakers know that. And it just comes, starts flowing. And that's what's happening here. I arranged this all differently than the way it's coming up. I did. But glory is the Greek equivalent of Shekinah, which you heard of, which is a Hebrew word, which the Israelites used to describe the light that the high priest saw once a year above the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. That's a fact. And I will get to that Shekinah a little bit. But the actual word Shekinah, Shekinah, written in the English in that way, is not found in the scriptures at all. But the Israelites did use the word, and they used it to describe an extremely important reality. And then that came over in the New Testament to us in the word doxa, which is many times translated in the New Testament glory. You know, put all these things together and then reread Ephesians and Colossians 1. And this is how the Lord can teach you of what he's really given to you. And the battle is that the joy that you will glean from this is what is going to be attacked every day by the evil one. He cannot get to your inheritance. He cannot unseal you. You are sealed with the seal of the King of the universe. You know, you could say, oh, well, how do you know all this, you short, loudmouth Polish guy? Right? How do you, what are you, making this up just to give us a fuzzy feeling here this morning? No way. No way. These are true, very true realities that the evil one would not have you joy in. Amen. And if you could joy in these things every day, more continuously as the day went on, our lives would be different than I know mine is at times. All right? So I know I'm attacked. So I speak from experience, and I'm no better than any of you at all. So, but I do know the excellency of what we've been given. So whenever you run into this word, you can think of the Shekinah glory that was said to have shown in the bush that Moses saw. And what happened to his face? Was that he really couldn't look upon it straight off, or his face got illuminated? Is that when that happened? And it's also mentioned, used when the glory of God came and dwelt in that tabernacle above that mercy seat, which all speaks of the Son of God, that it rested there. So Shekinah had to do with the glory of God, unapproachable, but when it came to rest, that's another meaning of that. This is translated over into this Greek word glory. All right? Just remember that. It's just really beautiful. It is. So, the more we learn about such things, when we start reading about our inheritance in the holiest of all, in this unapproachable light, in glory, these words have much fuller meaning than my English coming out. All right? Than my English coming out. The meaning that they have and the fullness that they have with Almighty God is much, much more. And those things are stunning. Absolutely. Let's turn to verse 10 of Colossians 1. That ye might walk worthy. And I'm going to get off on these verbal tangents. You're going to say, what happened to Colossians 1, Mike, 10 minutes ago? I don't know. This is what happens. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Hey, what after enumerating some of these things that we did this weekend, do we understand why we might want to walk worthy? It's not a punishment. It's not something that is a tasking thing. It's, I want to. Why wouldn't I? Am I stupid? Yeah. Right? It's a privilege. Right, it's a privilege. And I think that's how the Lord works. The Lord works silently, calmly, through privilege, and through calm and peace. That's how I believe he works. Not as one holding a rolling pin above your head. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, epigenosko, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the Holy of Holies in the light. That's what I believe that truly means. And you could say, that is pure blasphemy and you're a heretic. You could say that to me. And I could say to you, check it out, and you don't understand how awesome our calling is. And you're really limiting yourself through your own ignorance. And I'll pray for you. Because I was called that once at a conference and I started crying. I explained the three callings of God and I was riding high. And I walked by a table and a guy looked at me and said, "You are a heretic." And I walked out of the room and I started crying. But now I look back and I think, that was good. That was okay. You know, now that was kind of a strengthening thing. I look back and say, "Hey, okay, I'll come back again. Where's that guy? Bring him." But I was really sensitive, even more than I am now, believe it or not. And that really hurt me bad because I wanted everybody to know these things in my heart with the Lord. And bang, oh, and I can't imagine what the Lord went through, and what the Paul went through, some of the things, just what they knew and did, and what they took. But let's turn to some scriptures, okay? And we'll just go on here for a few minutes, and then I'll end. But these, this is all the groundwork here. And remember, this light here. Remember this light. And we're going to read a little bit about this light. Okay, we have an inheritance in this light. It deals with glory. This light deals with the sphere of the source of radiant light. God is light. Interesting. Without light, we're dead. You know, Ronnie, what was really great is that we're not aware as human beings of what's happening. You know, it's like, let's take a space shuttle ride every day so we can go out and we can see this little planet and then this huge fireball that's hanging out there. If we could go out, you know, like go on a tangent, bink, and then kind of like view the Earth from the side and the sun over there, you'd find that, like Ronnie showed, we're this little dinky thing here and then this huge fireball out here. And this huge fireball is there by the Lord's power, and we're rotating around it precisely at particular angles and everything, and this sunlight has to come through. If that went out, we'd all be frozen in 4 hours, they say. And we whirl around and we breathe this air, and the color blue and the color green happen to be passive to our brain, by the way. And we have a green plants and a blue sky. Why isn't it fire red and the plants purple? Because we'd go crazy. You know that? And that all has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that? And then if you take that light and put it through a prism, a rainbow comes out, and all those colors talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and it's just like, we have Christ everywhere. You can't run around without bumping into the Lord. But this world, what the evil one has done, and that's how wicked it is that we walk out there, and it's like, we should walk out there and look, the Lord's out there. And we walk out there now, and how wicked it's gotten, the Lord isn't even talked about. He isn't even revered. Isn't that something else? That's incredible, incredible stuff that we live in. But we're placed here, and we're placed here at this time to stand up for the Lord. And you are. And, you know, you might think, oh, I'm a 52-year-old short guy. What can I do? Well, a lot, because the power isn't of me, it's of the Lord. That's why I'm weak. You know, I mean, really. So when you're weak, you're strong. I don't know if you've been there. I don't like it, but it's great. I don't like it at all. Goes with what Bob's saying. If it was me, if I was, Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk, I wouldn't need the Lord. You know, I could function for a month for a while, and then I might have to talk to him, right? Right. But if I need him every day, you know, and that's the place to be, even though it might not feel very good, even though all your situations are different, whether you're, no matter what you're facing, we're all facing something. Sometimes they can be heinous, grievous, you know, but the Lord can see you through. I know that because he's done it for me. Whether it be health issues, mental issues, family issues, whatever it might be, my wife and I have been through enough to say, he's going to keep you. And you have to be there. You have to be there because of your family. Even if they don't like you, you know, even if it's like the young people, they say a Martian comes down at when they're 16, steals their brain, and then they take the brain, they go off to Mars, and then they come back when they're 25 and implant it back into their heads. So the time from their 16 to 25 when the Martians got their brains, they're going to say, you fuddy-duddies, we don't like you. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. You're not cool. You don't do this. What you believe there is wrong. Blah, blah, blah. You're trying to corral me. You're trying to, you're trying to subdue me. I want to live. Blah, blah, blah. And then you say, oh, man, that's hard to take. Look at this. I've raised this one from an embryo. They go out and do this to me? You know, but all of us, I think, have been through things like that or whatever. And hopefully the Martian will bring their brain back which does happen and which can happen. You know, even though I don't believe in Martians and all that, okay? But you know what I'm saying. And that can happen. So don't lose hope. And you be there. I'm saying this. This is another tangent. But you be there for them. Even if they think you're screwy, you being there and you being solid with your wife or husband for them, that's still in their heads. Oh, my parents are screwballs. But, you know, I can still call them up. I can still trust in them. I can still go back there. I can still talk to them. And they don't even know, if you weren't there, how bad that would be. You know, so you stand for the Lord, even if it hurts, and even if they don't respect you. Because he went through it, and who are you to say that you're not supposed to? You know, that's what one person said to me. I think it was Ron. He said, how can you ever think that you shouldn't go through pain? Who do you think you are? I think Ron said that to me. Could have been when we were talking about the Civil War or something. I don't know. They got something against Yankees down there. You know. Yeah, he did, yeah. But let's look at some scriptures. I saw like 20 vultures yesterday before I came here. And I told him, I said, yeah, they're just collecting up the old Southerners. Where I live. Oh, that's terrible. Okay, let's look at some scriptures and then we've got a few minutes, 20 minutes, you know. But there's so many things. I just want to say this. We're all so human. We're all human here. We're all just, we all love the Lord. There are times where I think to myself, let me see, if I could flip a switch and I'd be with him, would I take it? And most of me says yes. But then some of me says, yeah, but I got to do this. This one counts on me and all that. And I don't know if that you feel the same way. But there are times where, like Paul said, it would be better for me if I wasn't here. You know, but for me to live as Christ. Right? So, for you to live as Christ, you know, that's what it is. That's where you're at. You've been sealed. You're one of his. You can't get away from it. You know that? You can't get away from it. You can't be unsealed. Satan can hassle you. He can rile you up. He can make you, give you pain. But he can't unseal you. You are the Lord's. That's a fact. That's the fact. Whether all you have to do is realize it and have joy in it. That's the battle. Because the evil one can't touch your inheritance. He can't touch what you are in the Lord. He can't do anything against you but cause you not to have joy in the Lord. That's really important to say. Because it happens to me so much, and I'm a hypocrite. If I said, oh, I got it all, and I'm pretty strong, and Satan doesn't bother me that much, blah, blah, I'd be the supreme hypocrite. You know, because I whine, and my wife says, do you need a little cheese with your wine? Yeah, so if you understand that, you know, cheese and wine. Okay, let's look at 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 7. We're going to look at 1 Timothy. We're going to look at Ephesians 5. We're going to look at Ephesians 1. And then I'm going to close for the McWilliams. I'm going to close in Colossians 1, but it's a brother to Ephesians 1. So, Jim, I got to spend time with him. So, yeah, so he won't rail on me, you know. But he still might rail on us, though. But actually, let's turn to John 8. I'm sorry. John 8, the Gospel of John, as they call it. The Good News Book of John. Chapter 8, 12 through 19. All right. So I have some scripture. I have some scriptures talking about this light. This light. We have an inheritance in this light. In the light. God is pure, radiant light. You'll find that as you study the scriptures, that anybody that had this light shining on them, or that they approached this light, they were afraid. Usually they fell to their knees, or if any angel, which probably angels that are not fallen probably have this radiance, I would imagine, somewhat. And any human being that confronted an angel were afraid and they fell to their knees. I was flying here on a plane, and there's different powers of light. Like they say that lightning, they say that lightning is the most intense light. I'm not sure, I might be wrong. It's even brighter than the sun. Like lightning when it goes off and you see that white fireball, wham! You know? Well, I was flying here just in front of the wing. And I look back on the wing and the sun was beating down on that wing and then right in my head. And I went like this and I looked back for a second, and that was it. That radiant light from the sun, no less. Now, let's say we confronted a Lord. I'm just surmising here where that radiant light was even more powerful than that. As a human being, there's no way I could exist in that. And that's where we're going. You know, I mean, I know that sounds pretty crude and rude, but that helped me to understand it a bit. That's the realm we're headed to. You know. What, you know, he is light. He's the source of radiant light. He's the father of light. I am the light of the world. These aren't my words. They're the Holy Spirit's. Romans 8. So this is how my pea brain understands these things. Romans 8, 12 through 19. Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of light. Awesome. Yeah. We're privileged to even have this life to read these words. You bet. So life is precious. No, it's John 8. Did I say Romans? I'm sorry. It was Ron's fault. John 8. I'm really sorry. Verse 12. Life is precious. You know, people say life's precious. They don't know why. Many of them, they think that, oh, this baby's precious. Life is precious because that little baby can have an inheritance in the unapproachable life. That's why life is precious. Because the Lord, through you, can teach that little one and they can have awesome things to come. That's why life is precious. That's what I think. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came, from where I came, and where I go. But ye cannot tell where I came or where I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one and bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. And said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. So, what's really great about this is the Lord and the Father are agreeing that he is God. The testimony of two. That's kind of neat, isn't it? He's saying, hey, my Father and I testify of who I am. I don't need you. You know, I mean, who else do I need but him? And him and I know who I am. You know, that's kind of nifty. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6. This is going to be describing this light of which we have an inheritance in. And I'm going to, in a few minutes, I'm going to say, if you call me a heretic, well, then you're going to have to deal with these scriptures. Huh. I'm going to say that at the end. You know? And then you can just deal with the Lord. All right? But, you know, like when we're studying scriptures, all of us, does the Lord say 1 + 1 = 2? And how am I going to put this? And in order for you to understand E = m², you don't have to do nothing. The answer is no. You have to endeavor in the Word. What I'm saying is this. Will the Lord give you things just automatically and dump them on you without you endeavoring after them? The answer is no. You know, so logically, if you seek after the Lord, as Bob said, you're going to know more about him. That's the way he is. And mankind's attitude is, oh, man, I want it now. What? You're not giving it to me now? Oh, man, I can't deal with that. I got my life. Oh, man, what a bunch of fools. You know, so the more you seek after the Lord, the more he's going to teach you through the Holy Spirit. That is big fact. That is true. And you might be talking to somebody and know some things, and you might be explaining some things, and they don't have a clue of what you're talking about, even though they know the Lord, and then you feel bad. But that happens. And that doesn't mean you should reel back and go, man, do I know the right thing? No. It's just that you've been endeavoring in the Lord, and he's been teaching you things. You know, and I don't think this is a one-upsmanship thing either. I think this is a sharing thing. I don't think I should say, well, I'm going to study more so I know more than Bob or Ron. No, not at all. I'm going to study because that's what the Lord wants me to do, and then Bob and I can share, Ron and I can share those things, and we can have joy, love, peace, and honor in it. It's great. It's the greatest thing. It's the greatest life. That's what I've been doing for a few days here. And it ain't like my dental office. It's not like my dental office. You know? So, all right. 1 Timothy 6. You know, and that's why the Lord wants us to uphold each other. And it's just a great thing. None of us are better than each of us at other, no matter what we get or gain in this world or at all whatsoever. Okay. 1 Timothy 6, 12 through 16. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Isn't this interesting? One of the last books of the Scriptures written, and Paul goes back to Pontius Pilate. I don't know the full answer to that, but that strikes me as being very interesting. That the witness of Christ before Pontius Pilate, he mentions here. I don't know the answer, but that's interesting to me. Why would that be there? That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only has immortality. Now, how many people died up to this point? AD 67. How many human beings died up to this point? Thousands? Millions? Trillions? Billions? Are they in heaven? No. Only one has immortality. I don't care how many of those millions saw that bright light at the end of the pipe. Right? It was just some aberration in their brain axon. That was bright light in their nervous system, and that's it. Something like that. Dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. This is where your inheritance is. And I don't know, you know, the Lord doesn't come down, and he doesn't send me a magazine and says, Mike, this is what the Shekinah glory in the heavenlies is. Number one, and describe it. Number two, and describe it. He doesn't do that to me. He won't do that to you. I wish he would, but somehow something tells me that I couldn't comprehend it. So we have to have faith in it. And somehow, I think that brings tremendous joy to him. For us little mealy, mousy things walking around in the sight of a powerful evil one, and we can have faith in him and know that this is our calling. It's awesome. I know. But we have to see this by faith. This isn't something that's going to be sent to you in a memo. And it says, who no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. All right. This is in the light, the unapproachable light, written in a post-Acts 28 epistle describing Lord Jesus Christ and where he dwells. Right? That's undeniable, right? I mean, I'm not a heretic in that one, right? Okay, let's turn to Ephesians 5. You know, Ephesians 5, we just have a few more scriptures, and like I said, we could battle these people that try to move us out of here. right?
How many are they bringing?
I don't know, but we'd get Gary up there and get some of that hop keto going. All right. Ephesians 5:8. And this is how we should be after understanding such things. We can't make ourselves walk in any way. We can't sit down and think, I'm going to walk as a child of light today. Because the Lord does it automatically. And that's all. That's following and walking worthy of the Lord. There are times I say, I should do this. I should be like this. I should think more like this. I should act more like this. I should be calmer. I should have less anger, blah, 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 blah. And then what I realize is I realize I have a problem. Because the Lord does it automatically if you're seeking after Him and your mind and your heart are in the right place. You don't have to strain after it. You automatically do it because you understand what He's given you. So you're not straining to walk worthy, you automatically do it. I know that to be true even though I'm a failure. And it makes me sick of myself. So it says, for ye are sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. This light works in you. It could be that part of the Shekinah glory through the Holy Spirit, somehow through the Spirit, is what helps us to understand the Scriptures and us being sealed. I know that might be a little interesting. But we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we have the earnest of the Spirit. We're putting all these things together. We have the earnest of the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And through our spirit, whatever that might mean to you, this helps us know that we are the sons of God. Do you know that you're a son of God? Yes or no? There's no yea and nay. Do you know that you are sons of God? That means women too. Do you know that? Yes. How do you know that? If I sat down and I said, I'm going to give you a quiz on that before you walk out of here, I want you to write it down. Do you know it or not? How do you know that? Okay, you tell me. You tell me how God has presented that to you in your lives. Explain that to me. I want to know. All right? So somehow He's working in your heart and your mind through the Holy Spirit. Right? I don't have all the answers to describe these things. I'm just pushing them out to help you think. Because this is how I think, and I hope it's not too crazy. Goes on to say, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, you wouldn't want to. If you're walking right, you wouldn't be tempted by an unfruitful work of darkness too much, because you'd go, oh man, that's, you'd be more in more of a position to say no, because it would be more unlike what you love. It would be more unlike what you are. So the more you walk in the Lord, the more worthy you walk in the Lord, the stronger you are against temptation, because it's more unlike you in the Lord. That's how it works, I think. It's not a, well, if you walk more after your flesh, you're going to be weakened more. That's a fact. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Men love darkness rather than the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is the light. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleeps and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, redeeming the time, because you walk in the evil day, the day of man. And it's coming to a close. It is. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You are supposed to understand what the will of the Almighty God is. You are. That isn't some haphazard thing. It's not a yea and a nay, it's a yea. And it's available to you. It is. It's great. Ephesians 1, 11 8 through 18, and Colossians 1. And then I'm going to end. Ephesians 1, 11 through 18. Where is Christ right now? What did you say, Ron?
In God.
What?
In God.
In God. He's at the right hand of the Father. Colossians 3 says what? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Is anybody going to touch that? Give me a break. Who's going to do that? I mean, I know this is kind of like street-like talk. Who's going to do that? Tell me who it is. Nobody. No way, no how, not even close, not even a thought. Your life is hid with Christ, the creator of all things, in the Godhead. Nothing can touch you. Your life is going there forever. You're sealed. Is that in the light?
Yes.
Mike's going to say, you bet. Where else could it be? Right. Is that in the light that's unapproachable? Where else could it be? What else could it be? Right? All right. Let's go. Ephesians 1. And this is just to say, if you think I'm a heretic, well then, if I'm hid there, where am I hid? You tell me. You tell me if I'm hid in the Son of God at the right hand of the Father, and that's where my life is, and that's not in the light, well, then you tell me where it is. If I'm a heretic. Much more, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings there. Raised there. Seated there. The Father's going to show forth His joy in us for ages to come. You tell me what that is, if I'm a heretic. Ephesians 1, 11 through 18. In whom we have been made an inheritance, according to the purpose of Him who works things after the counsel of His own will. You're going to find in Ephesians 1 that the Father is handing out, and He's saying, hey, you guys, I'm going to have a great time with you. You and me. You and me are going to do some awesome things in the heavenlies in front of all these creatures, and I'm going to beam my love on you and show them my manifold wisdom. That's what He's saying. Just like a dad. A dad would say, hey, son, I'm going to take you out. I'm going to show you all my friends. I'm going to show you how cool you are, all the things I taught you. Here's my son. Look at him. Look what he can do. Look what I've done for him. Look what I've done in him. That's what He's going to do with us. I think that's right. Because you keep on reading that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also, some of these words are interesting, in whom ye also trusted after that ye have heard of the word of truth, the gospel, or the good news of mystery on truth, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You're not, you can't be unsealed. You were sealed. Kapow, bang. You are of the Lord. You are sealed like a prince, like an envoy of a king. Can't be unsealed, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory, whereunto I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of doxa, of glory, equated with the Shekinah, over here it is, you'll find doxa in verse 6 of the same chapter, that the Father of Shekinah glory, may give unto you. Hey, this is real stuff. This is real stuff experienced by real people, you and me. That's what makes everything that's happening to us so phenomenal. We're just not religious people. We are sons of God. That's what's phenomenal about what's happening to us. You know? It is. It's amazing. Sometimes I sit back and I'm, is this a dream that I'm in? Because it's so great. And it's so real. It's not religiosity at all. So Paul prays that He says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, of the Shekinah, he gave unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's going to reveal the mystery on truth to you, really. The eyes of your understanding, of your heart being enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of his calling. There's no yea and nay, there's just yea. Hey, do you know the hope of your calling? Yes, I do. Yes, I do, baby. And what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the Holy of Holies? And it goes on to say, oh, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe according to the working of his mighty power? And where is this happening? Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavens above all heavens, far above all principality. This is where we are. Power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which is in to come, which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head. He is our head over the church. Which is his body, we are his fullness, the fullness of him that fills all in all. And that should rock your world. You are the fullness of the Son of God who has made all these things possible. We are the fullness of him. And to think that we are not, he is not complete without every one of us. Mind-boggling. I don't have the words. I don't have the words, but I'm going to tell you this, that I'm really glad that I know that Christianity goes a lot farther than 3 times 3. You know what I mean? I'm glad that I can stand here and know that in this puny little flesh here. You know, so that's what he offers. And I was going to read Colossians 1, but it's just a brother to Ephesians 1. And I'm just going to end because we have to get out of here. You know, but I can't tell you what I was like when I was on that plane and what I feel like right now. And it's all because of the Lord and you, and I really thank you for that. And all of you, I'm overwhelmed that I can know people like you. Because I can remember a time when I couldn't imagine knowing people like you. And I thank you.